The D-Day itself, it must have resonated with the family, the radio or.
Well, yes, of course we knew what happened, or knew it was D-Day, but well, of course it just went. I suppose a lot of people down in Cornwall and so on would have noticed it a lot more than we did, where they
Yeah.
were really shifting off all the. One thing, coming back to that, what I do remember that as a boy going to the market in Holworthy, father and uncle going to the market in Holworthy, I suppose they were allowed a certain amount of petrol. I think it was about 3 gallons a month or something or other, basic rations or something. But going past Trismarrow, and there was a lot of men there working, digging down the hedge and knocking down some trees. They said that they were trying to make the roads all the way down to Falmouth Docks so that two vehicles could be
No, widening
passing,
the roads.
widening the roads.
Yes.
But I remember seeing them there working.
Yeah, because I know Stanley Tote said about down towards Polson, down past the Kensey view there, that they widened the road there because they needed the two trucks to get by. So the war comes to an end. Do you remember VE Day?
VE Day. I remember VE Day. Father got a cousin who lived in Plymouth. And, well, I don't know exactly whether it was VE Day or possibly it was celebrations anyway,
Yeah.
but I went down there to stay with them for the Plymouth celebration. Whether that was a day or whether it was, I can't tell you, but what I do remember is going up across towards the hole. There was just a few houses scattered about,
Yeah.
and I remember some of the locals there, I suppose, were there, and they got a barrel organ, and a woman up sitting on the top of the barrel organ pretending she was the monkey. I remember that, and went up onto the hole, and well, I think it must have had a few fireworks or something, but
Must have been quite a celebration for Plymouth because
yeah,
of what they've been
there was
through.
crowds of people up there. I can't remember very much about it, but what is it? They sort of a dance or something. They called a train. You know what I mean? But they were holding one another. I remember them. There was a crowd of them running around dancing or something. Whether it was some sort of music, I suppose. I don't know. I can't remember much about it, but.
So that was the end of the war.
That was the end of the war. But of course, as I say, kept the prisoners around here for, well, 2 or 3 years before they went. Then the next thing was for the harvest, potato harvest anyway, still in the camp, there was a lot of girls and women. I know the girls, young girls from Yorkshire, office girls or something or other, at a working holiday, they'd be in there and they'd come out and help pick up the potatoes and so on.
Yeah, because we didn't. You obviously didn't have any of the land army girls working on the farm or anything
We
like that.
didn't know. There was one down at Ham Mill. Lived in at Ham Mill, and she used to look after the cattle. They had pedigree Devon cattle down there, and she was. But of course, coming back to to the war again. You see, it was started off with 90% of the work was done on farms with horses.
Yeah.
But everybody was allocated that they had to plough a certain amount of their farm. And you were allocated that you had to grow so many acres of potatoes, and so many acres of wheat. And the wheat you were not allowed, that had to be sold. You weren't allowed to use the wheat on the farm.
That was for the war effort.
For the war effort. And lost my words for a minute. What's that about that?
So you were saying it was all horse.
All horses, yes. Well, of course, then it was. People wanted tractors.
Yeah.
And there was a very few tractors around, but very soon you could get a tractor, but you could not get a tractor with rubber tires.
Oh, they were metal.
And they had these old spade lugs, you see, and you weren't supposed to go on the road, you see.
Yeah.
Because they would damage the road. But they got some bands that you could put around them if you put them on and bolt them on and what a performance. And one thing I do remember was that poor old Mr. Parsons here, which would be, of course, he done the same as his son done down there to me, but I remember him in town one day, in the Smith's garage or something, or he'd been in, but he had got a tractor, whether he'd bought a new one or whether he'd had one on rubber tires, but the tires were got, so it must have been a very old tractor, I suppose. But because he'd got rubber tires, he would be able to get a permit to get new tires for his tractor. I remember that.
Oh, right.
And he was going to have tires. But anyway, to get a tractor, they wouldn't issue, you had to get a permit to buy a tractor although it would be on iron wheels. And only the big farms could get a permit for one. So the uncle next door, he come to father, he said, well, can I use your acreage as a part of the job? And so father let him have our acreage, if you liked.
Yeah.
And well, he used to do a lot of work for us with the...
So you could share the tractor.
Share the tractor, really. And but he was on spade lugs. And he had some ground down the bottom, straight across the road from ours there. And if he wanted to go from one to the other, nip across. They got to the, there was a policeman that lived at Lady Cross. Of course, that was Devon over there, actually, but and the police station at Lifton. But of course, there was marks in the road. And the old policeman up there used to go from one another with his bicycle. If he saw the tractor down there working and he had any thoughts that he might be going across the road, he put a lot of time down on that bridge, waiting. Anyway, in 1944, I just left school. And down at Berkham Farm, St. Dominic, it was a farm sale, and there was, in that farm sale, there was a tractor, a a second-hand tractor, of course, a Fordson tractor on rubber wheels. So we went down, we knew what the situation would be anyway, so we went down to the sale, and for some Air Force charity, you could buy a lucky number for a draw for the tractor.
Yeah.
So Father had a couple tickets, one for himself and one for me. And the conditions were that the tractor would be the price of a brand new one plus a commission. So it would be more than what a new tractor
would
be.
Oh my God.
Anyway, my number came up.
Oh wow.
There were 35 tickets sold for the tractor. So you know that people...
Yeah, it was like...
Anyway, there was Fred Stanbury from Poole Farm down there, but he'd already got a tractor, you see, but there was nothing to say he couldn't have a second one.
Mm.
Immediately that he heard my name come out, he came straight over and offered to pay the bill if he could have the wheels. Swap for his wheels. Well, anyway, it was, for that time, a new tractor was about £232.
Wow. That's a lot of money in those days.
Plus the commission. But that's how much he valued the tires, you see, because he got grievous too. He had a fair bit of road work. Anyway, they were going to save the rubber on our tractor. Anyway, didn't drive the thing home. Well, Father never had nothing to do with the tractors anyway. Didn't know much about it. Had Glover and Uglow's people contract, but the lorry went down and brought the tractor back home.
Yeah.
Went into Spry's garage. Well, then suddenly, Father had still put in for a tractor because it was getting easier to get.
Yeah.
So he'd applied for a tractor. And as soon as he got this one, he had a permit come through to say he could have a new one.
All right.
So he went in to Spry's and said, well, I shan't be wanting this tractor anyway because I've already got one. So he said, well, he said, you give me £40, he said, and you can have a new tractor with your wheels on it. So, well, that was a good offer, brand new tractor. So he paid Spry's £40 and they took the old tractor and swapped the wheels. And so we got a new tractor on rubber tires. Well, at that time, used to be Ernie Jenkins. Ernie used to be one of the Jenkins family.
Yeah, yeah.
He worked for Uncle Frank, but he always used to, with his horses, he used to, before the war, always go to the, used to have the ploughing match at Lifton. And Ernie always used to like to go with his horses out to the ploughing match. So, they'd already got a tractor plough. Although that was something on permit, I know Uncle Frank put an advert in the paper, wanted to hire one for a week before he could get a new plough to pull with it. Although he got a tractor to pull the thing, you see.
Yeah.
Anyway, in Warrington Park, they replied to his advert and he was able to borrow a plough for just for that few weeks anyway before he had a new one allocated.
Of course, it wasn't just the tractors, the implements.
That was it, using the old horse implements, you see.
Yeah.
It was old wagons and down at Bates, they used to make a V-bar take off the shafts off the wagon and tore the old wagons around.
I can remember on our farm there was all these horse-drawn things, and they'd be converted into old rakes and
And anyway, there was the lift and ploughing match. They still, well, I don't know if they had done it every year or no, but they anyway they were able to have a lift and ploughing match, and the entrance fee was I don't know, a little bit money for the Red Cross or something like that, I think it was. But Ernie Jenkins fancied going with a tractor. So he had our new tractor, and of course he got a plough, and he went over. It was only over, well, only over the Hale farm, only a mile and a half away anyway. Yeah. It was quite a talking point that day. People, well, how's he got a new tractor with rubber tires?
Oh, yes.
They just couldn't understand this. Yeah. You see, a new tractor with rubber tires. But at that time, they, of course, they had the competition, the ploughing competitions for the different types of plough, and people with their horses, well, some of them come quite several miles, some of them have got a plough that one furrow to, opposite, so they could change the way he was ploughing when they turn around and come back the other way, you see. But then they'd have a class for flatpole cabbage and mangolds and things like that. And
So they would have, would there be other tractors there, or was it
be other different classes?
Yeah.
Of course, we had this tractor. You see, I was only 14 when we had the tractor. When I was 17, I used to go to the Lifton Ploughing, or the Lifton Young Farmers Club at that time, which later they stopped, and it was the Lanson Young Farmers Club.
Oh, yeah.
But the Lifton Young Farmers Club, so they had a class for the Lifton Young Farmers. And, I was only 15, and there was only three of us in the class, but the other two, one was, she was called Barrable. She's still alive, I think, out at Lifton, but... she was home on the farm. She'd been driving the tractor for years.
Yeah.
And another chap called Pethick from Broadwood Way somewhere. And anyway, I was only 15, but anyway, I had the second prize. But I think really, if there was somebody else, made a mess of their, they hadn't got a straight line in the next class, somebody else, totally different, nothing to do with ours. And of course, when they come to finish it out, I suppose I made a little bit of a mess of the finish of the cut, if you like, where it had to be. I think that was what failed me, really. If the fellow on the other side had, but I was second anyway, in the second prize for.
That must have been quite a, because obviously you saw that massive change in farming
from
horse-drawn
to
vehicles. And of course, after the war, that happened.
Oh, yes. Well, when you think about it, the horses, an acre a day with ploughing, an acre a day with horses. Well, if you had a tractor, it'd be more like 3 acres a day, or maybe four. And but I remember Father for letting the a man work a field down at Oakley, ploughed a field for him. Well, that man must have gone every day for a week with the horses to plough his one field, which he had to.
Yeah, so we're talking about the tractor. So the first one was a Fordson tractor from Spry's.
Yes.
Because there was farm implements in Launceston, wasn't there?
Farm implements used to be down opposite the Bowling Green down at Newport.
Yeah.
And then also they had a little store up in the, what was the old sheep market, which is now the multi-story.
Oh yeah.
And Bates, M.A. Bates.
Yeah.
And they had a store where you could get a few odds and ends and, more or less an office, I suppose, as well, which was, I think that's gone now, that particular building, but that was in the entrance where you go into the car park for the White Hart Hotel up there.
Yes, I remember that, because they used to be there on market days, didn't they?
Yes.
I can remember that, yeah. Yeah, and there was, Watkins and...
Watkins and Rosevere, they came from Ivybridge.
Yeah.
And they started up in Dutson Road.
Cleaverfield, was it?
In Cleaverfield, we call it.
Yeah.
Yes, which was the old Dawes Creamery, that was.
Oh, yeah.
And then we went through this, didn't we? My mother came to the butter factory.
Yeah.
And then they closed that and that is Dawes Creamery. I suppose I can remember they had big pans or big aluminium trays up there. I suppose they used to make cream there, I presume.
Yeah.
I remember going in there with father with the car and trailer, I suppose, or someone taking the churns of milk in there.
So is that where you took your milk? Was it originally, or...?
When they started selling milk, I think that's when father started selling milk. Mother used to make, this is another story really, mother used to make all the, used to separate the milk and yeah. All the cream was used to make butter. And up from up the road, a little way up the road from our entrance, there's an old well up there in the side of the hill with the door to end up. There was shelves in there to use that as a cooling place. And I remember helping to carry the butter up there on slates and putting them up in the well, and sometimes the cream would be took up there before she was ready to make the butter, and she used to make the butter, and it would be on Saturdays with the pony and trap. We'd set off into town on a Saturday afternoon. Always every Saturday it was finish the work. Always milk the cows earlier on a Saturday afternoon. And finish the main working, but leave work time was 4 o'clock.
Oh yeah.
So it would be after 4 o'clock we would set off with the pony and trap, and loaded up with the butter and sometimes a basket of apples and a few dozen eggs. I don't know how many it would have been. I haven't got a clue now. But we would set off into town and going up St. Thomas Hill if you know where I mean by. Now there's a. It was a shop on the corner, which there still is, I think, a painting of. Eventually, Brian Davey had it as
the. Yeah, I know. Well, yeah, in, just going into Wooded Road.
It used to be Mr. Dennis had a shop there, groceries.
Yeah.
And he would always buy Old Mother's butter. And eggs.
All right.
And some potatoes and apples and so on. So we would go in there and unload there. Go on up to town with the pony and trap and go up to the White Hart. Then there was somebody would. They unharness and take the pony out of the trap.
Yeah.
And there was a stable there, which I'm not sure now what the room is, but it's a meeting room there in the sort of the back corner of the White Hart Hotel.
Yeah.
And. We'd go in, and mother would go round to whatever shops and things she wanted, and I would go to father, we'd go down into the pannier market. In the pannier market, one end was all the local butchers, the country butchers would be there with their bits of meat which they wanted to get sold and be hung up.
Oh yeah.
Down on the. Well, the doorway was straight in. There was two doors, but now the middle of the door is still there. But the original doorway we used to go in was on the right hand near to the. Well, I don't know beyond what's in. I'm not sure what the what's inside now, but anyway. Just inside there was a box, not a box, but a little office place where Mr. Dennis, who was at the shop down the road, but his daughters used to run the shop, and he was the market inspector.
Ah, yes.
And he would be collecting the tolls from the butchers and whoever had the... stalls in the thing. One of them would be Cyril Brent, who had a little shop down Northgate Street, which eventually, as I remember it now, it's just a home, I suppose, but at that time a little grocer's shop his wife used to run, and he had a little small lorry which he used to go to Plymouth with, and do anything, anybody wanted anything taken or brought back from Plymouth, I think, and he used to go down and bring home oranges and etc., whether for other shops, I'm not sure, but for himself anyway. Mm. And he would have a stall there in the market selling bananas and oranges and things on his little stall in the market. But we would go to Mr. Dennis inside the door, and they would say, how many dozen eggs this week, and Mr. Broad? And, well, it wouldn't have been no big quantity, we would say 5 dozen, and he would look out around the corner, and there was a old Mr. Corey, who used to be a regulator, he used to collect eggs.
Oh, yes, yes.
Buy eggs from the farms and so on, and take them off or send them off to Plymouth or some would be train or something, I suppose, I don't know. He would look out around and say, what's the price of eggs this week, Mr. Corey? And whatever it was. And so Mr. Dennis would pay father for the eggs and how many pounds of apples did you bring in or whatever, and he would pay father there in the shop. And mother would have left him list of what she wanted in the grocery shop, and as we went back home we'd call again and pick up the empty baskets, I suppose, and whatever groceries that she'd ordered from the shop. That would be.
So it would be like a.
That was it.
Yeah.
And, but in the. Well, there was. Cars were getting around. You see, well, Father bought his in 1937, but there were quite a few getting around, I suppose, because we weren't that far from town. And
so what was time, what was the first car then?
Little Hillman.
Oh yeah.
Which was a second hand, which Mr. Parsons, the baker, I think, in the town, he would. Selling the he sold, he had a new one, he was trading that one in.
Ah, right.
And I believe Father gave £160 for it, I think that's right, and which at that time was a lot of money.
Yeah, yes.
But there was more money for it to be made in the baker's shop than there was on the farm, I suppose.
Yes.
And he bought a new one anyway from Hoskins Garage. Well, do you remember Hoskins Garage?
Would that have been opposite the castle entrance there?
Yes, down there.
Right on the corner.
Yeah, down there, and there were petrol pumps there.
Yeah.
And they parked the cars down in there. You see just a few cars. But that's where he bought the car from, in there. And of course, the petrol pumps. You see, the petrol would be pumped by hand, and Leonard Jones worked there. Well, and his wife used to work there and do a bit of the paperwork or so on. But if you wanted some petrol, pull them outside the pumps, there were two or three pumps there, and. They had to wind the thing up for a gallon of petrol, and then rewind, and then wind again for the next gallon. Do you remember any of that?
No, I can remember the pumps being around the various places and that, yeah, there, but no.
That was what the pumps had to be, each gallon. And you'd see the clock going around, you see, for the gallon.